Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I am so pleased and thrilled and delighted and inspired to welcome again the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear Reverend Sharon Callahan. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you, Iris, and I just want to say all the same things about you and all of the precious, beautiful people that are tuning in today.
Thank you, Sharon. Now, Sharon is an internationally acclaimed animal communicator. She is the author of Healing Animals Naturally with Flower Essences and Intuitive Listening. She is the creator and founder of Sacred Spirit Ministry, where animals can go to church too.
Yeah.
And and she's the creator of Anna Flora Flower Essences. And I just don't know what else to say about you, Sharon, except you are a miracle worker, and I have had so many miracles with my animals where they were spared things that would have been traumatic and painful at the vet's office. And we just skipped that part, you know. We just skipped that part and went right on to healing, and I'm just so grateful for you.
Oh, well, thank you, Iris. And I think that's really what we want to promote here today, is moving straight on to the healing without going through the too much bad stuff.
Yeah. And animals really need for us to do things that are the most easy, the most carefree.
They really
don't need to be subjected to all the painful stuff that we've done to ourselves.
That's right. And so often with the best intentions, we do burden animals with painful things we've been through. And animals are so sensitive, especially when they love us so much, that even if we're not acting out negative things from the past or any of that, the animal will really pick up whatever energy or story that we create about life, and they'll reflect that back to us. And at the same time, the animals are so resilient, they can really help us turn around. If we get in a negative mood or in a state of ill health, they can help to balance us. And kitty cats are particularly good at that.
Oh, they're good at everything. And they will tell you so.
You were channeling a cat just then.
I said to my daughter-in-law, I was talking about their cat is so beautiful. I just said, he was going up the stairs, you know, just fluffing his tail luxuriantly behind him. And I said, isn't he a beautiful cat? And she said, and doesn't he know it?
He was strutting his stuff.
Yes, he was, and he always does. He's like, look at me, Mr. Handsome. Sharon, we wanted to talk about really what happens with animal testing for medical purposes and for cosmetic purposes.
Yes.
And this is a real hard one for me. It's really hard to even think about.
But in order to change it, we have to look at it, don't we?
Well, yes, and I feel like the important thing that people need to know is that when we cause pain and suffering in animals, it comes back to us. If we are doing experiments on animals, no matter how well-intentioned they are, they are coming back to us as pain. When we send out pain, we get back pain.
That's true, and it's really it's just the law of karma that, you know, what we sow we reap, and so if we're sowing the seeds of pain for another creature, then at some point we'll have to experience the same thing. Another thing I feel, Iris, is that with the people that are listening to our program today, I mean, if they're listening to you and I talking, then obviously all of our listeners have a high degree of sensitivity to other beings in the earth and higher consciousness. And I think that the higher our consciousness is, the more we've worked on ourselves, the more expanded we've become, there also comes a greater responsibility, and we simply can't get away with things that we might have been able to get away with when we were less informed and less ignorant. And I think once we become aware of all of the horrible things that happen to animals in factory farming and laboratory testing and in the cosmetic industry and so forth, once we're aware of that, we really do have to clean up our act and make sure that we're not part of the problem. And I think that, you know, one of the biggest things that we can do for our own health, our own physical health and well-being, our emotional health, that of our family, of our animals, of the people that we love and of the earth itself, is to be very, very conscious of what we put in or on our body, that whatever we take in the way of food, that whatever we use in the way of cosmetics or skincare products or household cleaners, that those things have not caused suffering to other beings. And nowadays, it's really, really easy to find out how to do that, because anybody that has a computer can easily go online and find, I wish I had the websites available here. I'll do that on another program, but they're wonderful websites that list all of the products that are safe to buy, that are cruelty-free, that don't buy ingredients from companies that test on animals. And so the one of the really wonderful things about modern technology is that it's not hard anymore to be cruelty-free. The information is all out there waiting for us to easily discover it. And, you know, you can print off and cut out those lists and check through them very carefully if you're buying a new product. And also, one of the wonderful things that I'd like to suggest to people that you've been such a wonderful example of, Iris, is just to really question manufacturers. You know, if you buy something, if you like something and you want to buy it, then go ahead and buy it if you're unsure, and call the company and ask them questions. It makes a huge difference.
Well, and the other thing I've done is I went to Nordstrom, and I always love Lancome colors. They're so beautiful.
Beautiful.
And they're just exceptional colors. And the girl said, no, they don't do any testing. Well, I thought their salesperson would be informed. So I bought all this stuff, and then I found out from one of these websites, Teta is, I think, one of the best. It's P-E-T-A, and you can Google it. But I found out that they do test on animals, so I packed up all of my Lancome stuff. I took it back to Nordstrom. I wrote a letter to the Lancome people. I wrote a letter to the Nordstrom management, and I said, this is not going to fly with me. It's too easy to have products that don't do this.
Yeah.
And I'm counting on you to do this. And I know the Nordstrom people are animal lovers, too.
They are. They are. They're actually very wonderful, wonderful people. But it takes great vigilance to keep on top of you know, when you consider the size of a store like Nordstrom's, to keep on top of every product and every ingredient. And that's where I think our role comes in, is to be the ones that ask the questions, that look into things, that find out, and then report back to the stores. That makes a huge difference.
And be willing to say, this is what I want, this is what I don't want.
Right.
I just canceled a whole bunch of catalogs by sending them my code from the back and a letter saying, you know, I have tolerated your leather thing for a while and have appreciated that you've had a few things that are man-made. But when you start selling rabbit fur, that just ticks me off. And so take me off your list. I don't want anything with rabbit fur on it.
That's wonderful.
And I think one of the things that kind of keeps that going is that people kind of, as they're waking up, say what I used to say is, well, as long as there's McDonald's, it doesn't hurt to wear leather because it's a byproduct. Well, it does hurt to wear leather.
Yes, it does. And what a lot of people don't understand is that a lot of animals are killed for their leather. You know, certainly leather can be a product of the meat production, which is horrible. But some animals are literally killed for the leather. So, you know, there's no excuse for any of it. Especially, as I said, with people who are listening to our program who are very aware and very sensitive, we can't let one little thing go by. It's too easy to speak up and to make a difference.
Well, also, you know, what you're saying is when in ignorance, God winked.
Yes.
But we're past that.
Also, something that just came to me is that I think with our current economic situation, which, of course, I don't really buy into because I think God gives us tremendous abundance all the time, but because stores may be having a little more of a challenging time selling merchandise,
mm-hmm.
I think that it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for people to speak up and say, I want this, I don't want that. Because I think
we're more likely
to be heard right now than any other time. So there's one of the gifts that we have that's presenting itself right now.
Yes, it is. And you know what? I know you've noticed this. There's so many people depressed, and there's so many people taking antidepressants.
Yes.
So I saw someone the other day, in fact, it's a couple where they're both depressed, and what they got each other for Christmas was sheepskin coats, and I was horrified.
They got more depressed.
Yeah, and they were both wearing them, and I was like, and why do you think we're depressed? Your whole body encased in suffering.
Exactly.
Where did people ever get the idea that it was okay to steal somebody else's skin and fur?
Isn't it? It's just kind of a no-brainer after a while. Another thing that it reminds me of, too, Iris, that I don't know whether we talked about on the air or not, but when you talk about the vibration of wearing an animal skin and that suffering and how that can contribute to depression, you had mentioned to me something that I had never thought about, which is wearing leather shoes, and how the vibration then of the suffering of the animal comes up through all the acupuncture meridians that come out at the soles of the feet. I mean, it has a tremendous impact, and so wearing any kind of clothing that's non-leather, that doesn't cause harm to other beings, is going to make us healthier, happier, not depressed, able to really fulfill our life potential and step fully into our I Am presence.
I'm sorry, Sharon, we were cut off. The last thing I heard you say was about people being depressed wearing black leather.
Oh, and I was commenting on...
Oh, the shoes.
The shoes. And where that would lead me is just that I think that, you know, the place that we want to start in creating peace in the world and harmony for all beings is to be peaceful and harmonious and non-harming ourselves. And so all of these little things that we might not even think of, like wearing leather shoes, you know, if we eliminate that and we eliminate the energy that that puts into our body, then we become healthy and whole and happy, and then we can project that out into the world and do whatever our work is on the outer level to make the world a better place. But it really kind of goes back to something my grandmother said, which is, what was the old saying? Peace begins at home.
Yes.
So we clean up our own act, and then we move out into the world and do everything that we can to make other people more aware and not to cause suffering to other beings, which, as you said, then just circles around and comes back to us again.
Yeah, and you know, I've worked with so many people, and you know what all of them wanted? There was a presenting issue. You know, it might be about relationship or what they were going to do with their work or about money. But really, what everybody wanted, bottom line, is that their beingness on the planet was truly helpful and uplifted life and made all life happier. That's what people really want in their heart and soul.
Oh, you know, you're so right about that, Iris. It just gives me a kind of tingle through my body because in all the years I've done my work, and I work with a lot of people as well as animals, because, of course, at the end of every leash, there's a person. But you're absolutely right about that. People's biggest wish and often their biggest dilemma is how to make a difference in the world. And some people are unhappy or depressed or sad because they feel that they're not making a difference. But I can guarantee you, if you start at home and you live your life in a way that's non-harming to other beings, that vibration in your home and your being will go out and begin to change things in an amazing way. And so another thing is so many very, very sensitive people that I talk to in my work will say that they feel when they think about the things that you and I are talking about, like the suffering of animals in food production or in laboratories, a lot of people will say, oh, well, it's just so big and so overwhelming, I couldn't possibly make a difference. But, you know, it just isn't true. One person asking one question, like when you took the cosmetics back to the store, it has a ripple effect that can be huge. I mean, you have no idea from doing that one thing the impact that that may have overall. So I think we just have to take the first step and then the next step and then the next step and be brave and not afraid to ask questions. And to do it in a loving way. I mean, I've been with you, Iris, when you've said things to people about animals. I can't think of an example right now. But you have a way of doing it with the greatest love, you know, not making anyone feel bad or wrong, but really just simply reminding people of what they may not know or what they may not have, or what they may have forgotten. About causing suffering directly or indirectly to other beings?
Well, also, I have great compassion because, you know, I've really had a thing for Glamour Girl shoes. I mean, Glamour Girl shoes.
And
I mean,
now you have a whole wardrobe of Glamour Girl non-leather shoes. I've seen them.
I do. And I've had trouble, you know, throwing away some of my leather ones that are years and years and years old. But you know what happens now if I try to wear them? It's like the universe, and most of them I've given away, but it's like, this pair Jerry got me in Hawaii, this pair, you know, that stuff. And I have, I have noticed that if I wear those now, I get a blister or something.
Really?
Yeah. They just, it's like, now I know. And truthfully, I don't even want them in my closet.
Right.
And they're,
I understand,
still, and so, you know, that's why I can be compassionate with people, because I've really, I've struggled with this stuff. I've really struggled with it. And I've struggled with the thing about, cheese. And, and it's very hard knowing, the way cows are treated. It's very
That's right.
hard.
That's right.
And I've really worked to withdraw myself from all of those things. And meat wasn't hard for me at all, Sharon, but cheese has been really hard. Really?
Well, I think
hard.
One of the things that makes it hard, too, is just that eliminating meat from your diet is fairly clear-cut. But if you eat out at all, which many busy people do, it's actually pretty hard to find things without cheese. But I think it's another place that we can speak up. You know, if we go to a restaurant or we order takeout food or something and there's absolutely nothing on the menu that doesn't have dairy products, the thing to do is to say something. And again, in a very loving way, not accusatory or any of that, but just to say, gee, I wish you had a pizza without cheese or whatever it is, so that the business gets the reflection that people are interested in things that don't have animal products in them.
Yeah. So you're saying just say something. Plant seeds.
Plant seeds and plant them in the most loving way possible, because it's very counterproductive to make anyone out to be the enemy. You know, because even the person that does what might consider to us to be the most horrendous thing to an animal, we may, in some past life, have done the same ourselves. And so we want to make people aware of our choices in cosmetics or food or whatever it is, but to do it in an all-encompassing way so that the whole situation is encompassed with love. Like one could call the pizza parlor and order a pizza, And just say in a very light way that I would like to have something that had no dairy products, no meat. And then if they say, oh, well, that's not on the menu, then you could ask them, well, could you prepare something like that specially for me with this and this and this?
Oh.
And all that can be done in a very lighthearted way, so a message gets across that a non-animal pizza is something that would be very much desired, and it can
yes.
all be done with love and fun.
Well, and another thing is, you know, you were mentioning I have all these Glamour Girl shoes now that don't have leather, and when people compliment me on them, I say, and no animals were hurt making them.
Yes.
Absolutely no animals were hurt.
And that one comment could make such a huge impact, because that person could say that to another person and to another person, and that person could go looking for the kind of shoes you were wearing.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, you last Christmas you sent me that beautiful little pair of cloth blue boots, and I've worn those all over the place, and people all the time when I go in a coffee shop or something, they comment on those boots and they want to know where I got them. And
you know,
I tell them the same thing, that they're not leather, that they didn't cause any suffering to animals, that I got them from my friend Iris, who got them from, I think it was Avon.
Avon, and they were $14.99.
$14.99, and they're beautiful, and they're warm, and they're wonderful, and everybody loves them.
Well, they had to be yours. They just looked exactly like you. I wanted to say, Sonny, my son, goes to Payless Shoes because they have a lot of non-leather shoes.
And real cute ones for girls, too, in the summertime. They've got darling little thong sandals with rhinestones and beautiful things.
Ew. I haven't even been there. I'm going to go. I didn't know that.
They do.
That's really, really good. Well, you wanted to talk some about people who have had really horrific past life experiences that may be hiding out or shut down because of them. I want to ask you how you would suggest people go about working with them.
Well, I think that one of the reasons I really believe that in trying to change the world and to make the world a better, safer place for animals and for other people and for plants and the earth itself, that we have to do it all through love and not through making enemies or making anyone the enemy, because we've all lived countless thousands of past lives, and in those lifetimes we've had various experiences and probably done horrible things ourselves, you know, in states of ignorance where we didn't know any better. And I think also, yes, and I think also that we have all in some way have had horrific things done to us, you know. You had mentioned before we started the program that you had had a past life where you had literally been skinned alive, and then I responded by recalling a past life that I had had where I was burned to death after the dropping of a bomb. And what I feel about those kinds of experiences is that they're kind of double-edged in that I think often people that have had that kind of experience, whether it was a past life or something horrible that happened this lifetime, that it is often what gives us our sensitivity to the suffering of other beings, other people, and non-human animals. And yet at the same time, if we've had a horrific experience, it often causes a situation where it's just too painful to look at, either to look at what our own experience was or to look at the suffering of other beings that may be going through a similar thing. And I feel that it's very important to get in touch with our past experience, you know, whether it's childhood trauma from this life, or past life trauma, which usually at some point arises on its own as we become more open and more sensitive. And I feel two things about it. I think we should examine it carefully and how it both those experiences might both give us our sensitivity and also possibly shut us down from taking action or coming into our full power now, but also to be very careful that we don't create a whole negative scenario around a past life or early life experience that we then drag forward into the future with us. So I think
and re-manifest.
Exactly. So then we manifest negativity again. So I think it's important to look directly, not be afraid to reflect on those past experiences, and then really to get the lesson from them and move forward in the most positive, light-filled way from where we are now.
Well, it's very important to do the forgiveness.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, in The Course in Miracles it says the only thing that's entirely true about the past is that it is not here.
That's right.
But if you are, like, for instance, the way I became aware of the being skinned alive thing,
mm-hmm.
was that I have had just all the skin just peeling off my face into sheets, and
right.
And it's gone on for a while. And so in my meditation, I said, "What is this? What will heal this?" And it's actually to go back into that past life and do the forgiveness.
Yes.
And once we do the forgiveness, we can recreate it as if it never was. We can actually... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. It's very much the same as what we were talking about with present circumstances, where in reviewing it, you don't want to blame anyone or feel victimized. You simply want to forgive.
Well, you know, and the Ho'oponopono is very, very, very useful, too. Dr. Hugh Lin says, you know, nothing changes until you take total responsibility and you say, I am the one that created this. And
that's
then
right.
Whoever you think did something to you, you say to that person, I am so sorry for seeing you that way. Please
yes.
forgive me. And I actually did that with this past life, and you know, Dr. Hugh Lin says, have you ever noticed that whenever there's a problem, you're there? No, I never noticed that. I always thought it was them, had nothing to do with me. And so it's the doing, saying, it's sort of like for me, Sonny, when he was little, he wanted real police handcuffs. And so he begged and begged and begged and begged, and finally we got him real police handcuffs. And then anybody that played with him had to wear the handcuffs. And he got to be real unpopular as a playmate there. And I think we've done that to each other. It's like, okay, if you're going to be in my movie, you've got to be a bad guy. You've got to
right.
skin me alive, or, you know, whatever the deal
mm-hmm.
was. And it's getting to that point where I don't care why I had that past life. I am sorry that I created such a thing.
Yes.
And forgiving myself, because we're always the last one to forgive.
That's right. And I think to follow that through into our current time existence, it sounds paradoxical, but I think that we need to forgive every moment. I mean, I think that Dr. Hugh Lin's I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, we can't do that enough. I mean, the more we do it, the better our life will be, and the better the life will be for all beings. And I think there's a way that we can move into the world in honesty and forthrightness, saying what we believe, what we want, what we don't want, and at the same time holding everything in a state of absolute perfection. I mean, I think a good example of that, you're a good example of that in the way that you can go into an animal shelter or a feed store where they have lots of little animals and you know, not always in the best conditions. And yet you don't focus on the negative. You focus on how that situation could be in its exalted state. And you hold the vision of that. And when you do that, I've seen it with my own eyes when I've been with you. Everybody rises to that vibration. The people who might be kind of dull and not so caring of the animals are suddenly bringing them water and interacting with them in a different way. So walking into a situation and seeing it in its perfection makes such a huge difference.
I don't always see it in its perfection. Sometimes I go, these rabbits don't have any water.
It's pretty straightforward.
Well, I just get the water thing out, and I go and I say, where is the water? I'll get them some. You know, I don't wait for somebody else to do it. I say, could I get them some? And I think it's important that we all speak up that way, too.
Yes. But people do change. Like, I remember the one time we were in the shop, and you said something about the little ducks not having water. the man that was there really, he visibly changed because you spoke up and because you were caring.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
He changed. It was beautiful.
Well, one of the things that we saw, Sharon and I saw, and I'll never forget this, we went to the feed store and there were all of these little two-day-old chicks. They were so cute. There must have been 100 of them. And there was one that was dying in the corner.
Yes.
And other little chicks went and leaped over it with their wings spread, just like they were giving it Reiki.
They were exactly like that.
They were just loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And treasuring it and nurturing it. And it was like praying for it. And
they were like little angels, weren't they, with their little wingtips spread out and touching around the little one that was dying.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
It was the sweetest thing. And I really love chickens, and yet I feed chicken baby food to my cats.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I open it, I ask the chickens to forgive me and tell them I love them and thank you and that I'm so sorry, and then I ask for a divine solution. I really ask.
Yes.
I ask for all of us to be taken out of the realm where anything has to be killed.
And it can happen amazingly quickly, I believe. I think that we have to take the lead by becoming non-harming ourselves. But I think that when we reach a critical mass of people that are living harm-free lives, we will literally see the animals change overnight.
Wow. You were talking about the divine ideal, and I just wanted to tell people this wonderful, wonderful website, and that has a video that is just the best. It is like animals should be treated. It's called The Cat House at Kings Beach. And it's 12 acres. I think there are 700 cats.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. And there are, I don't know, 150 dogs. They all run around together on this 12 acres. And the lady said, come on any sunny day and take a walk down to the river, and 150 cats will go with you.
Oh, it sounds like paradise.
Yes, and you can see this video, and they're just all getting along, and they can go in the house, and there are all of these feeding stations where there's plenty of food all the time for everybody. And it's just the sweetest thing, and with all my heart, I ask for every animal to be treated like this.
Yes. And what an incredible model for the way sanctuaries can and should be.
That's
just wonderful.
Yeah. And I was so excited about it. I was so thrilled by it. I felt like it came right from within my own heart.
Well, it did. It did. It's an outer manifestation of exactly what you would do.
Well, I think it's really, really, really important to give some of our tithe money to those things, because...
Oh, I do too. I really encourage people to take a look at that website. I've looked at it, and it's the kind of place that I would give donations to, because you can see exactly where the money goes, you know, that it really goes to the animals. There's not a lot of administration or anything like that. And it's the perfect model of what a place like that should be.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this lady's name is Linnea. I don't have her last name written down here. But she just said 17 years ago she got divorced and she started doing all the things, all the surface things, and they just weren't satisfying her, and she said, what am I supposed to be doing? I know there's something I'm supposed to be doing.
And a cat spoke to her.
Yeah. And said, duh.
Humans aren't that smart, though. They're not as smart as cats.
That's what they usually say, you know.
That's what they usually say, yes.
Yeah, they've got to be trained and carefully tended.
What a wonderful story she must have. We'll have to have her talk with us.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, I tried to get her for today, and she was trading some kittens for some unadoptable animals.
How wonderful.
I know.
So unadoptable. I can't imagine what that would be. I love them all so much.
I know. Well, some people might consider Vicky's kitties unadoptable. They're both blind. And
you'd never know it.
I know. They play with flies. They try to catch birds, which I'm not recommending, but they look at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd. They look at you right in the eye, and they have eyes there.
You know, I really feel, and I think this might be particularly true of cats because they're so vibrationally sensitive, but I think that all of us, our bodies, it's like whether it's the sense of sight or hearing or smell, that we really can see with all the cells of our body. We can hear with all the cells of our body. But, you know, there's been a story told by the collective consciousness for years that sight comes through the eyes and hearing comes through the ears. But I think in a way the animals know better, and so if something happens to their eyes, like our darling Vicky's kitties lost their eyes, wasn't it because of an infection?
Yeah, they were feral. And
I think what happens is the rest of their body takes over and they actually literally do see. It may be a little bit different than you would see if you had physical eyes. But I think they do see.
Well,
and I remember Vicky saying when she brought them home that in just a few hours they had figured everything out, how to get up and down the stairs and where the litter box was, and it wasn't a problem at all.
Yeah, and they also took very well to moving.
Yes.
They were just fine with moving. Well, Sharon, do you want to say any more about research in medical or
Well, it's an interesting question for me because I don't really consider myself like an activist, per se, because I've always kind of shied away from the label because I don't like the perspective of, like, making anyone an enemy.
The hostility factor.
Maybe, yeah, I think that there's a new term that needs to... Well, my friend Andrew Harvey talks about what he would call spiritual activism. That's a good term. Because it's activism that comes from a state of consciousness where no one is considered an enemy, where change is created through the Andrew would probably say something like the lavish pouring out of love to all beings and things. And I think that there's this is something we can talk about more in the future, but there's a new form of activism coming where nobody's blaming anybody, where everyone's being embraced in love, and where the greatest change can happen. And I think that 2009 is going to be a year of tremendous positive change, and it really can start so absolutely simply by each of us taking action in our own life not to harm anyone else with our thoughts or with our actions or in any other way. And then to let the ripples of that go out and watch the magic happen.
And think just how much happier we will be.
That's right.
Also, for me, in my life, I have to remember where I've come from, and You know, I was raised in a meat and potatoes consciousness, you know, and I was made to eat meat when I was a child.
I was too.
And later, I, you know, it was always just like it came out of the carton from Safeway. And later,
it's like a disconnect because you're not told where it comes from.
Yeah, and later, I used to, when I was a teenager, I used to get up in the morning and eat a steak. And that was considered being lavish and opulent, and it's really not. It's the poorest eating you can do.
Right.
And so I just have to remember where I've been in this life to, you know, in asleepness and unawareness of what I was doing.
That's right. We get so indoctrinated as children. I mean, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and they said that animals didn't have souls and that it was fine to exploit animals for human purposes. And even though as a child I knew that wasn't true, you feel kind of powerless because you look at all these people that are supposedly the grown-ups that are running things.
They know, right?
They know, right?
Well, I used to get them confused with God, and I used to think, well, if God is like that, I'm not playing with him.
Exactly. And, you know, I think what you said, too, about, you know, eating the steak, and I certainly ate meat as a child, too, that we have to forgive ourselves for that because, you know, it was at a time when we couldn't do anything about it or we were ignorant, so we have to forgive ourselves in order to then take the step of forgiving others.
And
do we have, I don't know how much time we have left.
We have 7 minutes.
I have a story that just came to me. I mean, I think that experiences from our childhood or past lives can either shut us down because of the horror of it, or it can awaken us. And one of the most incredible stories I ever heard, it was about Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who's done all the incredible death and dying work. And it was actually a rabbit that awakened her and put her on her life path when she was just a little girl of 6 or 7 years old. Her father was very stern and kind of cold, and Elizabeth had a beloved pet rabbit. And at one point, her father decided that to teach her what the real world was like, he was going to send her to the butcher shop with her rabbit.
Oh.
He made her take her rabbit to the butcher shop and stand there and watch while they killed it. And then he made her sit at the dinner table and eat the rabbit.
And I would like to put his dick on the counter and use the side of the ping pong paddle.
And you can
dick
see
on the counter, dude.
Really?
I'm sorry.
You can. That's okay. You can see how, for a lot of people, it would totally shut them down. But for Elizabeth, it opened her to her life work, and the death of the rabbit and the way it died was so devastating to her that she spent her entire life helping people and animals have a beautiful transition. And so instead of letting it shut her down, Elizabeth let it open her. And a lot of people don't know because most of her work is with human beings, but she's a great animal lover and has done a lot of work with helping dying animals. So experiences that we have, no matter how horrendous they are at the time, are meant to help us open our heart and be more compassionate.
Well,
so we want to encourage each other to look at the bad things that have happened to us, but to allow it to open us and not to shut us down.
Allow it to be a gift to us.
Yes.
Well, I want to say about that man, her father, is that what I've learned about that is to say to those people that are doing those things, I'm sorry to see you this way. I'm sorry to have a reality in which this exists,
yes,
that you're acting like this. And I see that as helping them take off the handcuffs.
Exactly.
And so I ask them to forgive me that I have seen something in this reality in which animals were treated that way.
Exactly.
And that's the way I'm working with it, with the Ho'oponopono.
And, you know, Iris, I think that that turnaround that you just described is so important. It's something we should come back to on another program. You know, turning any life situation around in a way that we're taking responsibility for it is so important, because then there's nowhere to put blame. Big, big transformative subject.
Yeah. Well, Nixon said it best, I accept the responsibility but not the blame. Well, it's a thin line, too, to not blame yourself.
It is.
When you're saying, when you're asking forgiveness for creating this, because I get that it's like the things that have been humanly created are like a Warner Brothers movie.
That's right.
And the things that God has created are all good, are all love, are all gentle, are all what create happiness, and the other stuff is just made up, so we're asking forgiveness for making up ugly stuff.
That's right.
And seeing other people as doing it.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, it's a good thing that we can do for animals that way. I think it's maybe one of the deepest things, and also calling on the Ascend the Master's Law of Forgiveness and the Violet Flame to clear things.
Yes.
And I wanted to recommend that book, The Zero Limits.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful.
And it teaches about Ho'oponopono and how to use it in every situation. And one of the things that he says that I think is really important is drinking blue solar water. And the
yes.
The way you do that is put a cobalt bottle out in the sun. He says tap water. I get water from the headwaters at Mount Shasta. And
way to go.
Yeah, and use that. But you just leave it out in the sun for an hour in a cobalt blue bottle with no with a non-metallic lid. And it helps clear memories, because when we're not manifesting perfection, we're manifesting something that's from our memory.
That's right.
And we all have a group memory, so we're all working to clear that. And then the other thing he says is strawberries and blueberries, even jam
mm-hmm.
or jelly or,
right.
or syrup or the fruit itself really helps clear those memories. So I would recommend that. And Sharon, we're almost out of time. Tell people how they can reach you, and I just... Thank you so much for your loving, gentle, miracle-working presence, for being here. And you're one of the very busiest people I know, so I just thank you so much for...
Well, I thank you, and I thank all of our listeners today for tuning in with us at the beginning of this incredible year of transformation and peace and happiness for all beings. And I can be reached most easily through my website, which is www.anaflora.com. And
I
how
really,
can people reach you?
Miracles, miraclesshp@yahoo.com. And I'd be happy to hear from any listeners that would like to email me. And Sharon, come back soon, and we're going to have Linnea on from the Cat House. And
that'd be wonderful.
I just thank people for listening, and Happy New Year, and I love you.
I love you, too. I love all our listeners. Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. All men, all women, all children, and yee-haw!